Harper Audio presents Reconciliation, Islam, Democracy and the West by Benazir Bhutto, read by Rita Wolf. Copyright 2008 by Benazir Bhutto. Production copyright 2008 by HarperCollins Publishers. Chapter 1, The Path Back. As I stepped down onto the tarmac at Haidi Azam International Airport in Karachi on October 18, 2007, I was overcome with emotion. I, like most women in politics, am especially sensitive to maintaining my composure, to never showing my feelings. A display of emotion by a woman in politics or government can be misconstrued as a manifestation of weakness, reinforcing stereotypes and caricatures. But as my foot touched the ground of my beloved Pakistan for the first time after 8 lonely and difficult years of exile, I could not stop the tears from pouring from my eyes, and I lifted my hands in reverence, in thanks, and in prayer. I stood on the soil of Pakistan in awe. I felt that a huge burden, a terrible weight, had been lifted from my shoulders. It was a sense of liberation. I was home at long last. I knew why. I knew what I had to do. I had departed 3 hours earlier from my home in exile, Dubai. My husband Asif was to stay behind in Dubai with our 2 daughters, Bakhtawa and Asifa. Asif and I had made a very calculated, difficult decision. We understood the dangers and the risk of my return, and we wanted to make sure that no matter what happened, our daughters and our son, Bilawal, at college in Oxford, would have a parent to take care of them. It was a discussion that few husbands and wives ever have to make, thankfully. But Asif and I had become accustomed to a life of sacrificing our personal happiness and any sense of normalcy and privacy. Long ago, I had made my choice. The people of Pakistan have always come first. The people of Pakistan will always come first. My children understood it, and not only accepted it but encouraged me. As we said goodbye, I turned to the group of assembled supporters and press, and said what was in my heart. This is the beginning of a long journey for Pakistan back to democracy, and I hope my going back is a catalyst for change. We must believe that miracles can happen. The stakes could not have been higher. Pakistan, under military dictatorship, had become the epicenter of an international terrorist movement that had 2 primary aims. First, the extremists' aim to reconstitute the concept of the caliphate, a political state encompassing the great ummah, Muslim community populations of the world, uniting the Middle East, the Gulf, South Asia, Central Asia, East Asia, and parts of Africa. And second, the militants' aim, to provoke a clash of civilizations between the West and an interpretation of Islam that rejects pluralism and modernity. The goal, the great hope of the militants, is a collision, an explosion between the values of the West and what the extremists claim to be the values of Islam. Within the Muslim world, there has been and continues to be an internal rift, an often violent confrontation amongst sects, ideologies, and interpretations of the message of Islam. This destructive tension has set brother against brother, a deadly fratricide that has tortured intra-Islamic relations for 1,300 years. This sectarian conflict stifled the brilliance of the Muslim Renaissance during the Dark Ages of Europe, when the great universities, scientists, doctors, and artists were all Muslim. Today, that intra-Muslim sectarian violence is most visibly manifest in a senseless, self-defeating sectarian civil war that is tearing modern Iraq apart at its fragile seams and exercising its brutality in other parts of the world, especially in parts of Pakistan. And as the Muslim world, where sectarianism is rampant, simmers internally, extremists have manipulated Islamic dogma to justify and rationalize a so-called jihad against the West. The attacks on September 11, 2001 heralded the vanguard of the caliphate-inspired dream of bloody confrontation, the Crusades in reverse. And as images of the Twin Towers burning and then imploding were on every television set in the world, the attack was received in 2 disparate ways in the Muslim world. Much, if not most, of the Muslim world reacted with horror, embarrassment, and shame. when it became clear that this greatest terrorist attack in history had been carried out by Muslims in the name of Allah and jihad. Yet there was also another reaction, a troubling and disquieting one. Some people danced in the streets of Palestine. Sweets were exchanged by others in Pakistan and Bangladesh. Condemnations were few in the world's largest Muslim nation, Indonesia. The hijackers of September 11th seemed to touch a nerve of Muslim impotence. The burning and then collapsing towers represented, to some, resurgent Muslim power, a perverse Muslim payback for the domination of the West. To others, it was a religious epiphany. And to still others, it combined political, cultural, and religious assertiveness. A Pew comparative study of Muslims' attitudes after the attacks found that people in many Muslim countries think it is good that Americans now know what it is like to be vulnerable.